A while back, I went to get a life insurance policy the old-fashioned way. Physical exam, blood work, the whole thing. They turned me down. My numbers were bad. Now that rejection ended up being one of the best things that has happened to me. It kicked the health journey that I am still on. Down 30 pounds and counting. But I realize not everybody's in that situation. Maybe you've just been putting it off. Maybe the process always seemed like too much of a hassle. That's exactly what Ethos fixes. Ethos helps you find life insurance completely online, no medical exam, just a few simple health questions. Get a quote in seconds. Apply in minutes. Same day coverage up to $3 million in protection. And some policies are as low as 30 bucks a month. There's no excuse to keep waiting on this one. Take 10 minutes and get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Take 10 minutes and get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Free quote at ethos.com/Zabe. ethos.com/Zabe. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. It's summertime, and at MyBookie, that can only mean one thing. It is winning season. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, super contests, Survivor, and more. And at MyBookie, winning season's all about your chance to win big. Bet NBA playoffs, NHL, Major League Baseball, UFC, golf, and then some. The craziest sports summer we've ever had. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Invest in your sports intuition, people. Select from hundreds of futures bets. You can bet games in real time with MyBookie's live betting. Put that big old brain of yours to good use and use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games that you bet. Thousands of cross-sport wagers, props, and parlays await. Sign up now and bet with the best and celebrate your victory. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie.
Good.
You are in the middle of a million shows and appearances per day, I assume.
this is like five.
God.
Yeah.
That's got to be brutal. I was actually on two different actual Zoom calls for non-podcasts. That almost killed me today. And that is something some people do for their work all day.
All day.
Every day. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
No, thank you.
No, thank you indeed. Good to be talking sports. Church is with us from the great state of Utah, where they, too, are mourning the loss of one Dolly Parton. 80 years old for the country music icon, and described by some as the closest embodiment of a literal angel on earth, both in voice, appearance, charm, charity, kind-heartedness, and just overall iconic nature. That's how she came across. What a legend. Hi, Charge. How are you?
I'm doing great. Dolly is somebody that I did not have a ton of musical affinity for growing up. But there was an event that happened about, 8 years ago, where my Video Games Weekly co-host, I had a video game show on KFAN for 13 years. My Video Games Weekly co-host, I made a not negative remark about Dolly, but just like a dismissive remark about Dolly.
And you made
like,
a jab like, about
whoa,
her.
Whoa, yeah. Dude, I don't think you know your Dolly Parton. And he was right. I did not know my Dolly Parton. And so I vowed to learn about Dolly Parton. And what I learned was staggering. And I would love to share some of the stats with you, if you don't mind, Zabe.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hedy Lamarr 2, Electric Boogaloo. 2.0. It is the Charge deep dive on Dolly Parton. So, right. So what was the jab you made about her? Do you know?
I don't remember. And it wasn't, again, it was just sort of like, I failed to recognize greatness in the moment. And I brought her up, but I don't remember what I, in some way, just didn't appreciate the gravity of what she had done. And it was my ignorance.
Okay.
I know that. I accept that. And I have since rectified that and learned a lot about Dolly. Here's what you need to know.
All right. Was the jab something as insensitive as Barry on here saying, hearing the news about Dolly Parton, immediately started crying? She had huge tits.
No. So I'm happy to say at no point.
How about this?
Did it involve that?
How about this? That rat bitch Jolene did this. I'm sure of it.
She got her revenge.
Right.
This is a good time to play link number one that I sent you a few minutes ago. If you want to throw that
Let's go.
Perfect right here.
Yes, which is Ricky Gervais.
No, I emailed.
I got them both up, but I don't know which one's which. Set it up for God's sake.
Gervais, Ricky, the Ricky
if
Gervais.
If you want the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain.
Can you hear that, by the way? You can. Okay, let me share a screen so you can hear it properly. I'm sorry it's not set up. To set it down the line, let me get it for you right here, and here we go. Okay, you ready?
If you want the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain. Do you know which philosopher said that? Dolly Parton. Yeah. And people say she's just a big pair of tits. If...
If you want to part with the rain, or rainbow, you got to part with the rain? Part with the rain?
If you want the rainbow...
Hold on here, let me...
If you want the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain.
Got to put up with. That's his British slang working right there. Yeah, you got to put up with the rain.
You want the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain. Do you know which philosopher said that? Dolly Parton.
Big tits. Now, one of my thoughts was, okay, people are going to make tits jokes. Fine. You know, men love tits. They're gorgeous. I assume they started natural, but did they get enhancements anywhere along
very much so. Yeah,
the line?
She was, yeah, and she was open about that.
Oh, absolutely. She was? Okay, absolutely. I did not know that.
Yep, she owned it. And, you know, she did it in a day when it was rare. I mean, you know,
this was the 70s. Are there pre-boob job Dolly Parton pictures that show her? Oh, yep. Okay.
You know, if you go back to her, you know, Dolly grew up in a shack with like 12 people.
And dirt
one
poor
room kind of shack.
Dirt
floors. I mean, it was extreme poverty. And, you know, there was no, you know, there was a period before which she had money when she could not afford to have made that change. But I just feel like focusing on that really at all,
it's wrong. It's wrong. But yeah, she had a charm. I'm watching a lot of clips of her, especially with Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson helped make her an instant overnight star. And Johnny himself had a great fondness for her, as anyone did who came into her orbit, as did America once they got to see her perform and talk and interact with people. She had such a charming, warm human touch. It was supernatural almost. But yeah, she made multiple appearances on Johnny Carson, sang songs for Johnny as well. And you could see the beloved Mr. Carson looking at her with such awe and wonder and admiration and love. It's beautiful stuff. Continue, please.
Absolutely. You know, for 60, you know, she was an icon for, she was famous, you know, entire adult life, 60 years. But she always treated she never had the entitlement that always seems to come. She's that one percenter that didn't get the entitlement, didn't take root in her.
Right.
And at her level, as literally the icon of an entire genre of music, you know, Johnny Cash on the men's side and Dolly Parton on the women's side, as an icon, you know, she had every right to have some of that, and she never had the entitlement, which I love.
Yeah.
Let me hit you with some of the stats of her accomplishments, because it is staggering, Zabe. If you feel free to just chime in on these as you'd like.
38, 26, 36. Is that the stats you're talking about? Because
No.
Dolly Parton never gave an exact date or year for her first breast enhancement, says Grok. Her comments have evolved over time. She was already known for a naturally full figure in the 1960s. A 1972 report listed measurements of 38, 26, 36. Early on, she denied or deflected rumors. In 1974, she said it runs in our family and that she'd been, quote, overgrown since age 13. By the 90s, she became more direct, saying in interviews she had had her breasts lifted after losing weight but never had silicone injections. It doesn't matter.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Stat me up. Stat me up on good old Dolly Parton.
Gold, platinum, or multi-platinum albums, 25.
Jesus.
Most, you know, how many bands even have 25 albums, right? I mean, you're already down to just a handful of bands that have 25 albums.
Right.
She had 25, at least hit gold. She had 42 different top 10 albums. A record for any artist, any gender, any style of music, 42 different top 10 albums.
That's incredible.
She sold over 100 million albums. Her songs reached number one on the charts 26 times.
26 number ones.
26 number ones. Only Elvis has more. On the men's side, she has the most on the women's side. Her songs have charted 110 times.
God
110 different
damn.
Songs charting.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers are, it's hard to even wrap your brain around it. 46 Grammy Award nominations, most of any female artist. 42 CMA Award nominations. She's been in the Country Music Hall of Fame for 25 years. She's got the EGOT. She has been nominated for the Emmy, Tony, Grammy, and Academy Award. And she made her Grand Ole Opry debut almost 60 years ago. So there's a few stats for you on her as a musician.
Top 10 greatest hits, by the way, according to Chart Impact. Number one, Islands in the Stream with Kenny Rogers, 1983.
Kenny.
She collaborated with him quite a bit. Talk about two giants in the industry, in the genre.
Yeah.
9 to 5, of course, made popular by the movie in 1980. Number two,
yes.
Number three,
and that song broke her off into the out of country
into
the pop charts,
yeah.
Which was a big deal. Yeah.
Number three, Here You Come Again, 1977. Number four, Two Doors Down, 78. Baby, I'm Burning, 78. Starting Over Again, 80. Heartbreaker, 78. Where I Get Where I'm Going. With Brad Paisley in 2005, But You Know I Love You, 81, and Jolene, 1973. Okay, continue.
Yep. Now, some would say that's none of those are her most popular song because she wrote I'll Always Love You, Whitney Houston.
No way. She wrote that.
Yep. She wrote that and
gave
recorded
it to Whitney.
It, and it was... Yep, and she recorded it, and it was a smaller hit for Dolly, and then Whitney did it, and of course, I'll Always Love You went completely berserk with Whitney, and that is one of her songs.
Wow.
She estimates,
song
although
for you
nobody
now that
knows
I wrote. This
not
is song
every
that
song she
I
wrote was recorded, but she estimates she's written 3,000 songs.
Hold on. Can we hear the a little snippet of I Will Always Love You? Because I did not know that factoid there. I think our listeners would like
please.
To hear this, by the way. This is a live version of that song.
Had out a few months back and hope maybe you might enjoy this one. In everybody's life, there's a special person. A person that you love more than you love anybody else. This is a song about that special person in my life. It's called I Will Always Love You.
It's the first time I've heard that she did this song. So this is fresh powder for me. Thank you, Charge, for steering me into this new content. It's good stuff right there. Of course, Whitney made it her own as well. Whitney killed it as well, but still. Okay.
There's no doubt about it. She wrote that song in 1974 for Porter Williams. Porter Williams had an incredibly popular country music variety show in the 60s and 70s. He was a star maker, and they became romantically attached. And he became her producer, her manager, and her lover. But eventually, he became jealous and possessive.
Oh.
And she, well... while recording, and they were working together, right, producer, manager, they're recording their last, what would end up being their last album together, and Porter Williams was unhappy with the subjects of her song, and he challenged her to write about love, but she was angry, she was hurt, she went away for a couple of days, and she came back with that song, I'll Always Love You, as a breakup song for Porter Williams.
Wow,
and
okay.
That was, yep, Elvis asked to cover I'll Always Love You, and she refused because it was too intimate for her about her relationship with Porter Williams. And so a little bit of history on that song with Dolly. Now, I'd like to go to Jolene, the number one song on your top 10 list, and I think the number one song that most have.
It was listed Jolene as number 10, by the way. I went 1 through 10,
oh,
not 10.
Oh, you went 1 through 10. Okay.
Yeah.
Listed as 10. I think I think
it's the most iconic of her songs, for sure. The most haunting as well in its tenor, yes, to say the least. Okay.
So this is her first crossover hit. It's 1973. And she gets this hit. She'd already been a country star, but Jolene crosses over into pop star. It's sung from the perspective of a woman who's found her one true love, but Jolene has got her hooks,
her rival,
in her man.
Yes.
And she's completely outclassed by Jolene. You know, she says, I cannot compete with you, Jolene. Beauty is beyond compare, flaming locks of auburn hair, ivory skin, and eyes of emerald green. I mean, you know, that's some great writing right there. I'm begging you, please don't take my man just because you can. And it is a fantastic song. Jolene, iconic.
Wait.
Are you
the same guy that liked that fucking cacophony known as Holy Fuck? And you're waxing poetic about real musical genius like this? Who are you?
Who are you? I know. Well, flexible.
You understand and appreciate great music, and yet you gravitate sometimes towards utter shit. Okay, continue.
In your opinion. Okay.
in my humble opinion, yes.
We all know Jolene. About, I don't know, 15 years ago, somebody noticed this. Now, if you were to modulate our voices on this podcast, either very fast or very slow, we would sound awful. You know, it would all be.
Not my type, very good. We really advanced. Who should I take in the first round of the fantasy draft?
Yeah. Exactly. Somebody figured out.
I was watching the Raiders game last night, Charge, and I noticed.
That's right. Okay. Right. Somebody figured out if you take the 45 of Jolene and you slow it down, the 45 single, back when there were records and they had the small 45s, and you slow it down to 33 and a third. It's magic. Listen to this.
Okay. Let's take a listen.
Jolene, 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 Jolene.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Don't take my man.
That's a man singing this song. That is not Dolly Parton.
Jolene, Jolene, Jolene. Please don't take him just because you can.
I refuse to believe that that's actually Dolly Parton at 33 and a third.
isn't that amazing? Her voice does not break down. The purity of her voice, that you can slow it down by a third, and it sounds hauntingly beautiful.
Your smile is like a breath of spring. Your voice is soft like summer rain. And I cannot compete with you, Jolene.
Are you sure if we didn't take any other premier singer, slow down their songs to 33 and a third, that they wouldn't just fall into a normal male octave and tenor?
Nope.
And I can easily
could also hear the core shuffle of this song at this slower rate. You can hear the finer details in it.
Jolene. You can also hear her little southern twangs that are very Dolly in this. And that's one of the ways you know it's her. And this is the original clip is from that.
That is incredible right there. I also think I heard Paul is Dead at 33 and a third. What was the Beatles song? If you played it backwards, you could hear them say Paul is Dead, Paul is Dead.
Right. All right, so then I just want to go to Dolly's philanthropy, which is unbelievable. She started the Dollywood Foundation, a children's literacy project that mails books to needy children. Every month, from birth to kindergarten, they get a free book mailed to them. It operates in the U.S., the U.K., Canada, Australia. Her foundation has mailed 300 million books for free to needy children. The foundation also works to bringing jobs to economically depressed parts of the country. She's worked with the Red Cross. She's worked with several HIV and AIDS charities, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and she was given an honorary humanities doctorate from the University of Tennessee for her work in advocating for education. She is just the second person ever recognized by the University of Tennessee with an honorary doctorate. That is Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Rest in peace, American icon. That's why Trump ordered the flags to be flown at half staff in honor of a great American that is Dolly Parton.
And apolitical, right? People tried so many times to pin her politics down so they could use her politics against her one way or another. And she would never take the bait. Never.
Yeah.
Good for
her. Very, very smart. Very smart. All right, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a blackjack guy. Always have been. It's the one casino game where your decisions actually matter. Hit or stand, double down, split. You're not just watching a slot machine and hoping for the best. MyBookie.ag has live dealer blackjack. Real person, on camera, dealing cards in real time. And a full casino beyond that. Roulette, crap, slots, poker, all of it right on your phone. New players get $25 in casino credit just for making a first deposit. Use promo code ZABE. Go try the tables on them. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart. Get paid. Okay. That's all fine and well, but Ja'Marr Chase may have blown out his ACL in practice today, which Paul Charchian currently in the middle of many, many radio hits and shows and podcasts for his newly launched Fantasy Football World. You should make sure to bookmark it on all your socials. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast Fantasy Football World. That is going to be a big topic. We're not sure just yet. This happened this afternoon. Did not look good. I know people were freaking out over Ashton Jeanty being carried off the field for the Raiders, although that apparently is a sprained ankle, so it's not nearly as bad. This Ja'Marr Chase thing looks pretty bad.
We're still gathering information at this time. Now, by the time people hear this, they may know more than we do.
They will know more by then. Yeah.
The immediate reaction that we got one of the beat guys said it's not serious. So I don't know yet. We just, there's still things to come on.
This is the essential question. 'Cause he did it in a joint practice. I believe it was a joint practice against the Browns. Don't quote me on that, but either way, it was a practice. He was running a straight route down the sideline, jumped up to catch the ball, came down, kind of jammed his knee, and then immediately grabbed it once he landed. The kind of thing that makes you go, oh, shit, that looks like it's an ACL.
All right, I'm looking for new intel on this. He has talked to reporters since then and said that it is not serious, and if he needed to play a game, he could do it. This next preseason game, and he's not going.
All right, so this raises a philosophical question. You ready?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it just be smarter to not play these guys in the preseason or even practice them in any kind of drills whatsoever to make sure?
That's what the Rams do, right?
Yeah, because from a gamified standpoint, you have to say to yourself, at least we want him for one game. Because if, God forbid, he did blow his knee out or Achilles in practice, then you would have him for zero games. And you would say, but he might be rusty. And then you ask, well, how rusty could he be? And how would that affect itself on the field? And I believe that you would not be able to discern that rust, that Jamar Chase, his caliber of player, knows how to football.
Mm-hmm.
And that with proper cardio and other workouts would be ready to football come week one when the games count. Therefore, I'd accept a little bit of rust to guarantee he's available for week one. Just my thought.
All right, well, let's turn it into wins and losses. Let's put your ass on the line, Zabe. So let's say that is going to cost you a week one loss to knock off the rust. You said, I'm willing to accept that there's going to be rust and it's going to take some time.
There's no way there's enough
season losses.
Okay.
Are you going to take?
Okay.
Are you willing to give?
There is no way that Jamar Chase being rusty equates to a negative EV significant enough to cause you to lose the game. No way. No chance. No how. He doesn't touch the ball enough for that to be the case. If he ran nothing but dummy routes at 80% speed, he would still have a positive impact on the overall scheme of the game. Only a quarterback could have a measurable negative EV, if you ask me, on losing a first game of the season. And by the first game, all the rust is off. You've been footballing. You know football. We're ready to play week two. That's just my thought.
I think we will never know. I think you are dismissing some of the key things that every player needs and like timing, rhythm, things that you build through practice. I mean, you know, they've been practicing in we've had NFL training camp practices for 100 years. If it was meaningless and all we were doing was inviting injury, wouldn't we know that by now? Wouldn't somebody have cracked the
code? No, we would not necessarily know that by now. There are many things in life that have always been done a certain way until somebody finally says, no, I'm not doing it that way. And nothing happened when they stopped doing it the way it's always been done. I firmly believe that the way NFL teams practice, remember, they used to have 6 preseason games and the starters would play regularly much of each of the 6 games. Tell me that is not Neanderthal.
I did not remember 6. When
you
when
don't
were there 6 preseason.
I believe that ended in 1974. I can't believe when they had a 14 game schedule. When did the NFL go away from 6? I can't believe you don't know this.
I did not remember.
Yes, 6. They had 6 charge. Okay. And it's like, you know, no big deal. I mean, doctors used to smoke in the hospitals.
Well, that is true, but
we used to not have seat belts in automobiles and kids would rattle around freely in the back thinking, "Oh, you know, well, anything could happen."
Nothing to do with this.
Yes, they do. Very similar because it was a careless mindset. It was a fatalistic mindset of, well, we can't guard our children all the time. They might rattle around in a crash. I hope I don't get into a crash, much like I hope my starting quarterback doesn't get hurt playing in the preseason. It wasn't really thought out. Like, hey, for a little extra time and effort, buckle your kids into a seatbelt. You can really hedge against a massive amount of risk. If you just don't play the guys that matter in the preseason, which Sean McVay is doing now, you are massively hedging against a whole lot of risk. 1977 charge. 1977 was the last year that they played six preseason games.
Big difference between saying we're not going to play in the preseason games when the players on the opposing team are trying to hurt me versus not practicing. I mean, those are two really, really different things.
Agreed.
And if Sean McVay is, and if Sean McVay is an iconoclast who has barely been the first person who says my starters will never play in the preseason, then it makes you wonder why he would not have also come to the conclusion that practice is not needed for these guys if, in fact, he's not getting anything out of it. Bill Belichick, did all kinds of stuff that broke all the rules. He never drew that conclusion. I think there's still value in practice. And I think the only way you can go forward with your assertion is to take L's at the beginning of the season because your guys aren't on the same page. They're not in rhythm. They're not in shape, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't think you're able to detect not being in rhythm. Sometimes guys could have practiced a lot and they're still out of rhythm. Rhythm's a hard thing.
JJ McCarthy's throwing the ball.
Oh boy. Yeah. How's that going for you, Church?
Yeah, it's he missed some high school level passes on the field. And at this stage, here's where Viking fans are right now, Zabe. Acceptance. they realize that they were wrong about everything they had hoped that JJ McCarthy would be. And now they're just like, well, okay, let's just bury him on the depth chart and see what happens in 2028. And let's see where he is then. And there's nobody left that's banging the drum. Like 3 weeks ago, before the Vikings announced Kyler Murray was their starter, there were a lot of Viking fans that were convinced that JJ needed to be the starter. There's basically nobody left that's saying that.
Are you ready for a good parody song since we're playing music on today's podcast?
Yeah.
Do you like parody songs? I'm a sucker.
Sometimes. For parody songs. Some are great.
Okay. Yeah. The Browns. We can all be thankful we're not Browns fans, correct?
You know the great
Mike Polk comedian who did the video where that ended with the guy yelling at the old Cleveland Browns Stadium, you are a factory of sadness.
Yeah, I do not, but I have heard factory of sadness before. I've heard the phrase.
You don't know the origin story of factory of sadness?
Nope.
Do you know Mike Polk and Fun Times in Cleveland today?
Nope.
Wow. Okay, now I'm going to have to walk you through this. This is amazing. Please. He was attacked by some Browns fans for being this honest. But this is actually the newer one. So let me go ahead and let me share this up for you. Hold on a second. Stop sharing that one. I'm going to instead share this one. Okay. Comedian Mike Polk. Charge, your life is about to change for the better.
All right.
Here we go.
Hey, Browns. Mike Polk, season ticket holder. Killer game in Houston today.
Well, thank God we built you. What a blessing for the community.
You are wasting valuable space on our majestic shoreline, and what do we get out of it from you? 10 miserable games a year, including 2 preseason games that I have to pay for, and 1 shitty Kenny Chesney concert. Do you understand that it is actually statistically harder for a team to be this consistently bad than it is for them to occasionally accidentally be good?
The probability is staggering. Did you happen to see that Packers-Chargers game today? It's like they're playing a different sport than you are.
And here's what you have to understand. We don't even expect you to be good. We just want you to be watchable. Do you have any idea how low our expectations are? We don't expect you to win the Super Bowl. We just want you to look better than a Division III high school team.
And listen, I know that there are way more important things in life than football, but you are supposed to be our pleasant distraction from those things.
But all we do is pay you money to put us in a bad mood every week.
You are a factory of sadness!
I'll see you Sunday.
I'll see you Sunday.
That's really
how great is that? You are a factory of sadness. Now, Mike Polk also did Fun Times in Cleveland today, which you've never seen, and I cannot believe it. Now I can't figure out why. Hold on a second. 2.8 million views on that video, Charge.
Wow. Good for him.
Yeah. Okay. Fun Times Cleveland Today. These are two different versions, okay? Here we go. All right, hold on a second. Now I got to share the screen. I wish there was a less clunky way to do this. This is the hastily made Cleveland tourism video.
Fun times in Cleveland today. Cleveland. Come on down to Cleveland town, everyone. Come and look at both of our buildings. Buy some food that's prepared near the street. Who knows, you might even see this guy. You should come on down to West 6th Street. It's the perfect place if you're a douchebag. Watch the poor people all wait for buses. Who the fuck still uses a payphone? Here's the place where there used to be industry. This train is carrying jobs out of Cleveland. Cleveland leads the nation in drifters. Here's a statue of Moses Cleveland. He's the guy who invented Cleveland. Yeah!
I can't believe that you had never heard that before. But then again, I never heard Jolene at 33 and a third RPM, nor had I heard Dolly Parton sing I Will Always Love You. Now, that brings us to this parody song.
We've learned a lot today.
We've learned, we've laughed, we've cried, we've talked the bare minimum of sports, but still, we're going to retain our license. This is a great parody song that just dropped today. Set to, forget what tune it was. Take a listen. Billy Joel's Living Here in Allentown. Sean Watson. That's their new stadium. I mean, that's a really well-done parody with a lot of great visuals of miserable Brown fans. What do you think is the best way to handle this situation with Watson and Shador?
Well, I think it's good. The obvious answer is Shador will start week number three. So Deshaun Watson, against all odds, named the starter. I find it baffling. He's been so bad in training camp and preseason that he's clearly the worst quarterback on roster, but they're paying him $250 million. So those things come with a certain amount of expectation to start. So these first two games are on the road at Jacksonville, at Tampa. The Browns will get annihilated in those two games, and he will be benched for the return game because if the Browns were to start him in week three in front of his own team, he's going to get booed again. And he's already said he didn't like being booed the first time when they tore his Achilles and everybody booed him.
Right.
They cheered that. He will not like the boos and will not be there for it. Shador will start the third game is the probable path for a once legitimately great NFL passer. This guy who led the league in passing yards with Houston.
That's insane, isn't it?
4,800 passing yards. He went to two national championships at Clemson. He threw for 10,000 yards there.
Yeah.
And now the dude can barely pass. He has no interest in the game of football. He is exhibit number one on why you don't give guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
Because the player doesn't have to care anymore if they're getting paid. Did you see him talking in the press conference while he's twirling his 5-carat diamonds in ears?
Oh, I saw that. Yes.
And he's wearing a $100,000 watch and a diamond crusted necklace and a diamond crusted bracelet.
And this is in front of fans in the bluest of blue collar cities in the National Football League, far more than even Buffalo or Green Bay. People that live in Cleveland, they live there because they're just trying to make a living. They are not living there by choice. Anyone with options has fucking left Cleveland a long time ago. So, that did not go over well. Now, my podcast marketing guru, Chris Broussard, texted me to say he thinks the Browns are hoping he gets hurt so they don't have to pay him out, so they can claim a injury insurance bailout. And I'm like, well, I guess that's one strategy. What do? Pull the line aside and say, psst, don't block. Just don't block for this guy.
Don't block for this guy.
Right. I want you to not pick up any blitzes. I want you to make it really, really bad. Son of a bitch, JR. They're going to get Watson killed out there. Well, let him die then. That's the way it's going to be.
Hey, look, the Cleveland Indians attempted that exact ploy in Major League, and maybe the Browns are like, hey, we just saw this documentary called Major League, and the idea is we're going to suck so bad that we're ultimately going to be able to move the team or make a bunch of money or something like that. So, maybe there was a little confusion by the Browns on that point.
All right, couple quick ones. Are you aware of the new rivalry uniforms that have dropped league-wide, including what do you think of your Vikings and their new rivalry uniforms?
I only saw the Vikings one. I've been very busy today.
I know you've been very busy.
I thought it was badass. I loved it. And I've generally been opposed to all the uniform variants. I think most of them are butt freaking ugly. They make every team look like the XFL. But this one looked really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, some fan bases like there's more than others. The Packers, of course, have rivalry jerseys out. And it's a case where, all right, the Packers had been the most steadfast, limited, don't do a lot of crazy stuff uniforms. In fact, it wasn't until the NFL started doing color rush on Thursdays that they made the Packers do a little something different. And all the Packers did that first couple of years when they were playing on Thursday was to wear white pants with white tops. That was as far as they would go. Last year, they went to a white shell for the first time ever in their so-called storm front or storm warning uniforms. And now we've got these rivalry uniforms, which are neither throwbacks nor alternates nor anything historical. They're just cooked up out of thin air. And the teams and the uniforms...
to sell jerseys.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, okay? And that is the Packers, and let me give you the... let's get this up here for you to see. This is the Viking one, right? Well, you've already seen the Viking one, so you don't need to see it again.
Yeah,
right?
The Packer one is, I like the color scheme with the sort of matte green and the creamy white. I like that part. The font is very delicate. I don't care
the font. We went through this, me and some guys on a group chat, about what font is that. And it's apparently a proprietary font they cooked up to mimic money. It's to mimic the money because, here's the thing. These uniforms now have what they say are, the details of the hows and the whys of the uniform. And they are truly eye-rolling nerdery, okay? So here you go on the Packers. Ready? The details. Striping, delicate striping throughout the jersey, pants, and helmet echoes the ornate borders found on Packers stock certificates, which are worthless.
Oh, whatever.
The font, modeled after the intricate lettering on paper currency reflective of the financial contributions from the fans that helped sustain the franchise
over the years.
All right.
The logo, the
interlocking GB logo on the upper left chest of the jersey and back of the helmet is modernized interpretation of a classic Packer logo that appeared on the Vince Lombardi era sideline and practice gear predating the team's now iconic G. By the way, the power G that the Packers have was a legal dispute with the University of Georgia because they had to settle financially to let the Packers use that one as well as, you know, because Georgia kind of had the upper hand on that. Details, matte face mask and matte helmet, first time ever for those two elements. And then the Go Pack Go, the fan's signature rallying cry, appears on the back of the helmet, the base plate, and inside
Whoa. The Go Pack Go on the back of the helmet is where we're supposed to get our social justice messaging. How are we supposed to end racism without having the social justice messaging on the back of the helmet?
Yeah, it takes all of us, Charge. End racism. Choose love. All these other slogans, bullshit. Also, it says making history is stitched into the collar of the jersey. You won't be able to see it, but it's in there. Making history since 1919, embroidered inside the collar, marking the Packers' founding year and enduring identity. The jersey is a darker, foresty green.
I like it. I like the green. I'll be honest. I think that is nice.
They have gold. They have a gold middle stripe to the helmet, which they did not have for the other white shell they rolled out the last couple of years. And they have a slight gold accent inside the G, it appears, as well. Look, it looks fine. If you are upset about this, and there is a small minority that's vocally upset about iconic teams like the Packers going to this, and just the multiplication now of uniforms around the NFL, I just have to tell you this, people. You are now in the NFL uniform multiverse. And if you don't like a specific rivalry or showdown or holiday edition of your team's uniform, guess what? Just wait 15 minutes. There'll be another uniform coming down the pipe because we're in the multiverse now. The NFL looked over at the NBA and said, hey, wait a minute. We'll have what they're having. Because they sell more jerseys than the NBA, and they cost more per copy. So, duh, when has this league ever once not said, oh, more money? Nah, we're good. Answer,
never.
Yeah. And what is quite offensive is that the Packers tweeted out with this uniform reveal. It says, for our history, for the future, for you, the fans. And I'm like, fucking stop it, Green Bay Packers social media team.
If it was for you, no. They would give you the jersey.
Right.
You'd have to buy the jersey.
But you haven't
it's,
quite.
Obviously, it's out. So, wait, I have a key question to the whole rivalry jersey. Is it one game or two games?
And I don't know.
Who decides which rival are you going to get? Now, I have long contended that the Packers' main rival since 1980 is the Vikings. They have 50 years. The Vikings have been a far, far more compelling rivalry.
Before
that was the Bears, and I understand that was your grandpa's rival. I believe that the Vikings would want to wear this against the Packers if they only get one game, but the Packers are going to wear it against the Bears, and that's crap.
Well, that's a debate for another podcast, Charge, and that is the Bears are the historical rival of the Packers, having been born into the league at the same time with the two teams and two ownership groups helping each other out to survive in the very nascent years of the National Football League in the 1920s through war and depression and more. But I'd say the blood rival for the Packers is the Vikings because there is that turf war that borders the two states, and because one of the great icons in Packers lore was stolen by the Vikings, and once stolen, hurt the Packers badly in head-to-head matchups.
That's how rivalries are born, is by hurting the other team, by taking something away from them.
Yeah.
The Bears don't take anything away from anybody.
Yeah. It's not sort of like years. Sort of like with the Redskins, the Cowboys were always the historical rival, but the Eagles were the blood rival because the Eagles had the body bag game in which they literally injured and sent off a dozen of our players in a single game, leaving us to play running back and kick returner Brian Mitchell at quarterback and the option spread for the final quarter of the game. Look it up, the body bag game. Now, to conclude this and to conclude the pod, make sure to go subscribe to Fantasy Football World, Charge's new fantasy product. It's all out there for you on social media as well as wherever you get your podcasts. You have not lived until you have seen the pose that Caleb Williams, noted finger painter or fingernail painter, chose for his uniform reveal for the Bears. That's the Bears' rival.
That's a pretty good uniform.
I do like the uniform. It's orange pants, a dark orange, a pumpkin orange, and same dark navy, almost looks like black. But Caleb Williams is leaning back in a chair with his legs kind of spread, one knee up, and a downward gaze with no smile into your eyes that suggests something sexually sinister, if I'm being perfectly honest.
I had the word sinister in my mind from the look on his face. You added sexual.
Look at that. Somebody said, who the fuck chose this as a pose for a uniform reveal? And my answer is probably Caleb, because that guy's different. Somebody else said, this pose says the defense is about to get fucked. That's what the pose says. God, I love the NFL, Charge. It's back in our lives in just a couple of weeks. Back. I can't wait. You are in on our whiskey league. You haven't bought your whiskey yet, but I know you will. And I know you live in a tiny town in Utah. You're going to still get a bottle worth $100. Mr. X is being a bitch already, texting the group saying, oh, I'm up in Maine. I can't buy a bottle for $100 and show the receipt. They don't sell whiskey that good up here. And I said, then call
That's
your son.
Not true.
I said, A, it's not true. B, I said, call your son back in Virginia. Have him buy it, and he can send you the picture of bottle with the receipt, because that's the one requirement I put in the league this year. I said,
why did you add the $100 and the receipt? Something went wrong last year. It's got to be the answer to that.
No, it did not go wrong. It was actually a hedge against the laziness of myself. I pulled one of my bottles of whiskey off the shelf. That was a promotional bottle from Maddie's Bar and Grill. It was a good bottle. It was a barrel pick of, forget which brand it was, but it was a good bottle, but it didn't cost me anything. And I just said, here, this is my entry. It's a bottle of whiskey. I said, I want this league to be a league of whiskey enthusiasts who purchase a bottle that costs $100 retail, which is increasingly a more and more rare bottle because whiskey prices are plummeting because there's a glut of it out there. And I said, I want a bottle, I want a photo of the bottle, and a receipt proving you paid money for it. That means everyone's got skin in the game. And I was one of the biggest violators of it, but I said, this is what I want to do. I don't want guys promising a bottle later, saying, yeah, I'll get it, or pulling one out of their collection, because some of the guys in the Whiskey League have a cabinet of 100 bottles, of which 50 are unopened. I didn't want it to be that. Well,
okay, but whether you bought it now or earlier, does it matter?
Yeah, because this is the league.
Okay.
Sounds like you're balking at it.
I'm not. I mean, I'm going to buy it anyway because I've trimmed down my collection significantly.
Right. You need to get replenished anyway. Is your whiskey store up there in Virgin, Utah or nearby Hurricane? Do they have a $100 bottle?
Yeah. Probably barely, but I'm sure they do. It's not very good. I run across the border. Nevada is a 1 hour drive.
And when you get back,
go down there, to Lee's Discount Liquor.
Okay. All right. When you get back from Minnesota, because you're going up there this weekend, when you land and when you head back up to Hurricane or up to Virgin, guess what?
Yeah.
Buy a bottle. It's that simple.
Easy.
Yeah. I think the more that people resist me on this, the fucking harder of an asshole I'm going to be. because it's a small ask, goddammit. I went out, took 5 minutes, I went and found a $100 bottle, took a picture of the fucking receipt. Everyone can do that. And if you can't fuck off, I'll get someone else to take your spot in the league. All right. That's enough of that. Chart, you're the best. Fantasy World.
You get to run the league your way, and your way is it's always fun. All right. You're the best.
You didn't say that with much enthusiasm, but I'll take it anyway. Your way of running the league is something.
Something.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Bye.
That's right, like, because my brother and I are now experts in the field.
Yeah,
eh?
Right, because we're a band now. And, yeah.
Well, so, except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off.
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north.
Hey, hose hand.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Listen to this one's coming. You know what it is?
What?
It's a drum solo.
Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums,
oh,
eh?
Get out. It is not. You're
lying. It is so.
Stop
I
lying,
learned.
Will you?
Take off, eh?
Take off.
Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, ba-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid.